Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show, so please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Well, Nick, Happy New Year, Nick, from Pinky Nips.
Happy Pat. New Year. Oh, God. Nothing much. How are you? What was the vibe of the week for you? Happy New Year as well, too.
Man, listen. Shit. not too many people know, but I started a new job or whatever. I think I talked about this in the last episode, but I started a new warehouse job and everything like that, you know, from a well-popular warehouse, so to speak. I ain't going to say no names, but, yeah, this is like my first warehouse job and, you know, my first experience working in a warehouse, and it is whooping my ass. I don't know how to feel about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, the pay is good, but, you know, at the same time, like, you know, a part of me is just like, you know, I'm not cut out for the shit. But,
right.
You know, nonetheless, you know, it's a practicing moment to, you know, kind of help strengthen yourself and, you know,
yeah.
Never really, you know, be so quick to quit, you know what I'm saying, when things is rough and everything like that. But,
that part.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the scheduling is real different. You know what I'm saying? I work from 6:30 PM to 5 AM. And you know what I'm
okay.
saying? If it's mandatory, I got to stay an extra hour, which is 6 o'clock. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
And then have to try to get some sleep, you know what I'm saying? To wake my kid up in the morning to get her ready for school and try to cram in, you know, as much sleep time as I can. You know what I'm saying? It's different when you're working a 7 AM to a 3 PM shift. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for the last 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So to jump from that and immediately jump to this type of shift is, you know, it's a whole different dynamic. But,
yeah.
You know, nonetheless, I'm just happy to have a job, you know what I'm saying, with everything going on.
That part.
You know, and not living off of unemployment and stimulus checks, you know what I'm saying? Nothing against y'all people who are, but, you know, some of y'all out here just fucking, y'all trying to finesse. But, but other than that, you know, life is good. I had an incident earlier today at Dollar General. You know, this lady was shopping like she was at Walmart and shit. And unfortunately, with this particular Dollar General, I've always had issues with this Dollar General. But, you know, I had to get some last minute things for the puppy. So I figured, you know what, fuck it, I'll just swing into the Dollar General. You know what I'm saying? It's 2021, you know. I figure, you know, hell, new year, new start. Ain't nothing going to happen just yet. I was fucking wrong. She was shopping she was at Walmart and shit. She had a buggy full of shit. And there was two registers open. One register only accepted cash only. I didn't have no cash on me. So, of course, the one that she ends up going to is the one where she had to use a credit card. And I was sitting in line trying to be patient for 15 goddamn minutes. Don't ask me why I sat in a line for 15 goddamn minutes, because I don't usually do that on a regular basis. So I dropped the shit on the floor and I walked out. Like, literally dropped the shit on the floor and walked out. You know what I'm saying? So I say that to say we're not giving no fucks in 2021. You know what I'm saying? If 2020 taught us anything, is not to give two fucks about shit. Because if you made it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, condolences to everybody who didn't. But if you did, it goes to show you, like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Self-love is a thing. It's strong. It's here. Grasp it. And, you know, hold on to it.
Yeah.
So that's my love. That's my little vibe of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Everything good with you? How's your new year starting?
Everything's going good. It was real good. I'm going to definitely talk about that in the shout out, so.
Okay, for sure. all right, cool. Well, shit, with that being said, you know, we usually do a recap, but, you know, Complex said, fuck it. We ain't doing this shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to put her on plans, but, you know, she just said, fuck it, the hell with it. that's a more of a healthier way to tell y'all to go listen to the last goddamn show. So with that being said, we're gonna hop right into the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic, and we are gonna talk about the TV show You. Oh my God, You is a goddamn show for your ass, boy. It's a lot of shows out there that, you know, that really hit close to home, or, you know what I'm saying, whether it's personal or, you know, you've seen these type of characteristics, you know what I'm saying, within other people, but I'm telling you, You is something different. So we about to definitely chop in on this show here. I've been watching it ever since it came out, you know what I'm saying? This is one of those shows where it just kind of just like rolled upon me. Like, nobody had to force me to watch the shit. I was just like, you know what? You, why not? You know what I'm saying? And once I started watching it, like, I haven't put that damn show down ever since. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait until season 3 comes out. It's been confirmed. Hallelujah. But we go jump into the first question here. What is your take on the show in general?
My take on the show in general is that You really points out a lot of our toxic ways that we think is love, but it's not love. And, like, watching the first episode when he was observing the girl walk into the bookstore, everything that he was saying was so triggering, because some of the things that he was saying is stuff that I've thought, but it's like he sounded like one of those medicine commercials where they're telling you all the side effects, but they're saying it so calmly. You know, like how it was okay for him to just like pop up wherever she was at and, you know, talking about, like, listening to the conversation that her friends were saying, and it's like, you don't deserve them. You just need me in your life. Like, we really feel like that. We really, like, I know for me, like, in past relationships, I always felt like no one can make you as happy as me. And it's like, it just kind of shows that fear that you have of being replaced. And I feel like that comes with, you know, I think that's a side effect of attachment issues, because it's like when, please remind me of the first girl's name, because the second season, when love came in, she kind of overpowered her. What was the girl's name that he had, that he first came in contact with and was trying to forget her name? Do you remember? Beck, okay. You know, just the fact of her wanting to leave him and he locked her in the basement and everything. Like, I've never been to that extreme, but pressuring a person, you know what I'm saying, don't leave me, I can't be without you, you know what I'm saying? Like, even going to the state of, like, having suicidal thoughts, like, you know what I'm saying, like, well, if you leave, I don't know if I can live life without you. In a sense, those words can make you feel like you're trapped in that basement, like Beck was, you know. So You really just points out a lot of toxic ways, but it also shines light on what he had to deal with growing up, and it shows that what your parents teach you, that shit can blur the lines of how your life is supposed to go. You get what I'm saying? Like, what he dealt with, he thought it was okay. So, yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree, like, 100% of what you just said. I feel like it also shines light, too, on how revealing you are on social media. Because if you ever paid attention to it, you know what I'm saying? Like, once he kind of, like, was introduced to her, in a sense, immediately, like, he went, like, in a sense, to social media. It was like, I got to find this girl. Like, I need to know what she likes. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, he went onto her page, and, you know, as he's speaking to himself, you know, he said, oh, like, you know, she likes to sightsee, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, like, a picnic or something like that could probably be something to kind of win her over. You know what I'm saying? Like, people use, like, social media as, like, a resource, you know what I'm saying, to a person's entrance. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it kind of defeats the purpose of really kind of getting to know that person organically, because, like, you kind of already get a sense of what they like just based off of what they post on social media. You know what I'm saying? You don't get that organic chance to kind of fill them out, you know what I'm saying, to kind of have that, like, those organic conversations to kind of fill them out and stuff like that. But, Joe, Joe is the main character, guys, and like, you know, Joe is like on some stalky type shit. You know
Yes.
what I'm saying? I meant to say this before we even started talking. Shit, the disclaimer is already out there. Fuck it. If you haven't seen this show, don't listen. And you know, we ain't getting too many spoilers just yet. I mean, well, Complex did, but yeah, if you haven't seen the show yet, don't listen to this episode, but definitely give this an opportunity to actually go to season 1, episode 1, the pilot, and actually watch it, because
yes.
It's like some real good shit.
Yes.
But yeah, nonetheless, I you know, I agree with everything you touched on. A lot of Joe's tactics really revolved around his childhood. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I never really understood that until we actually started doing this podcast, you know what I'm saying? Because we generally talk about a lot of our problems and where they stem from. And, you know what I'm saying? It all narrows down to this, you know, this, the childhood, you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
what we went through and how it kind of molded us to be the adult that we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of his tactics, you know, definitely came from his childhood for sure, for sure. Cause like I had rewatched it a bit and, you know, it was scenes and scenarios that, you know, that were kind of put into place and was just like, oh damn. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I see. You know what I'm saying? So my next question is, do you feel Joe is a complex protagonist, or do you feel like he's just an all-around antagonist? Like, is he like
yeah.
that good guy that you can kind of understand the justifications that he's doing, or
mm-hmm.
is he just all-around bad guy?
I think Joe, in his mind, he feels like it's good intentions, because Beck did have some fucked up friends around her. One of her friends
yeah.
was obsessed with her, but his methods were extreme. To go, I don't even know how he didn't get caught, but to go walk and stand in front of her house every day watching her, like, you know, reading others, like, because, you know, he was going through social media, like, you know, going to like her friend's page and stuff like that. But it's like when he was stalking her, he realized the person that she proclaimed to be on Instagram wasn't who she was in real life. Like, you know, like he kind of seen the vulnerability in her and like, what are you doing with these women? So it's like he had good intentions, but his methods were extreme. But it's like, it was what he was taught growing up, you know, like with
right.
the guy that took him in, like whenever he messed up, you gotta stay down here. I don't know how long he would stay in the basement, but it's like he did the same thing, you know what I'm saying, to the girls that he came in contact with. His
exactly.
mom, you know, I think that was his dad that was abusing his mom and burning him, and you
yeah.
know, he had to end up killing her, and she was like, you didn't do anything wrong. You were protecting me. You have to kind of watch what you teach a child, because they can grow up and think this is okay. And some people can get stuck and be like, I'm okay with this. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like it, I mean, it's okay to accept who you are and to embrace your fucked up ways. But if someone comes along that you're trying to pursue and they're telling you, this makes me feel uncomfortable, it was wrong for him to sit up there and try to make Beck feel be okay with it. No, still love me. Nigga, you have me locked in the fucking basement. You didn't kill all of my fucking friends. What do you mean? You know, like, that's when it becomes wrong. So it's like he was good, but
yeah.
his methods was extreme, and he met his match in season 2. But I know we'll go into that with the other questions you have. But yeah, that's all I'm going to say. What about
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, in my eyes, I would consider him a complex protagonist. You know what I'm saying? Just based off the answer that you basically gave off. You know what I'm saying? Like
mm-hmm.
his intentions was good. You know what I'm saying? And you know it does stem a lot from, you know, like I said, his childhood. And honestly, where it got triggering was
mm-hmm.
when he had to confront Beck about having sex with her therapist. Cause I remember
yeah.
that scene. I had watched that scene, and You know what I'm saying? It was one of those scenes, and I swear to God, we've all been through this, where we have to pretty much show emotion before uttering the words, "I need you to tell me the truth."
Yes.
Did you or did you not do this? And you can tell by her emotion, she was like, "Oh shit, I know what he about to ask." And the fact that he crying and he literally ready to break down, "I can't lie to this man," type of thing. So, like, I commend her for telling the truth, but
yeah,
I feel like when those emotions are built up from the accuser, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't help but just, like, you know, just utter the truth. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's where, like, the breaking point was for, you know, for him to, like, really, like, snap into, like, that, you know, that toxic, you know, part of him. Like, I really feel like that's when it really kicked in. Because I think, like, right after that is when, you know, he tried to sabotage the therapist and everything like that. Because the therapist went to jail. You know what I'm saying?
But
I feel like a lot of people fall into category where, you know, like the gestures are extreme, but their intentions are good. And you got to kind of watch who you fuck over. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not feeling that person, let's be real. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you're not feeling that person, or if you're not all the way in, so to speak, and you know that you might have interest out, you know, you might have interest to, you know, still play the field type of thing. Don't allow this person to feel like, you know, the complete opposite. You know what I'm saying? Because if you give off the impression that you're all in and, you know what I'm saying, you're just for that person, then that's what they're going to absolutely believe. You know what I'm saying? You know, you start fucking your therapist. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because her response was, "Yes, but it's over now." Bitch, what you mean it's over? Yeah, it's about to be over for you. I'm about to put you in this damn cubicle. I'm about to put you in this motherfucking cubicle and let you know what you've done wrong. You know what I'm saying? But, man, I mean, I felt them on that part. You know what I'm saying? Because we've all experienced that portrayal where, you know, it hurts so deep to where, like, you just feel like it's hard to come back from. You know what I'm saying? And that shit hit home, because I've too experienced that, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And I've also been on the other end of, you know, that situation too. You know what I'm saying? Got slapped about it too. But, you know, that's a whole other topic. But my third question: have you ever had stalking moments, and were they extreme as Joe's?
I've had stalking moments. I'm not going to say if they were extreme or if they weren't, because I feel like if any time you stalk, it's just bad. But I've said on previous podcasts that I was in a relationship with this guy for 3 years. And the wedge that between our relationship that was, like, basically pulling us apart was I had gained a lot of weight after my mom and my grandma passed from depression. And he had told me from the get-go that he, you know, big girls wasn't his type and everything like that. But it's like he still wanted to be with me. But it's like he wasn't showing affection. So I had found out about his ex-girlfriend that he was with, that he lost his virginity to. Because, you know, when I first met him, I was scrolling through his Facebook, because I feel like you can learn a lot about a person, but at the same time, social media can be conniving too, because we only put up what we want you to see. But it's like I was going through, I found myself scrolling back like almost 2 years, and, you know, I seen that he was tagging her and stuff. I instantly started comparing, like, well, damn, he don't tag me as much. What's so special about her? I'm going on her page, making insults about her, like she's not even that cute. And it's like, I felt like at that moment, I should have said, like, dog, this relationship ain't for me. But because I had attachment issues and I wanted to make it work, it's like I'm going to do everything in my power to tell myself and convince myself why I need to stay. I didn't have to insult that girl. She did nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? She probably didn't give two fucks about him. But it's like here I am on her page comparing myself to her to see what was so special about her. Why did she get more tags than me? So Yes, I've definitely done that stalking thing, but I hurt my own damn feelings. I went through his phone before. I hurt my own damn feelings with that. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I did all of that except for the phone thing. You
Okay.
know what I'm saying? And to add a little bit more to that, I mean, I'm about to
Oh, sis.
expose her.
About to rip another
Well,
Band-Aid off.
I mean, it ain't necessarily a Band-Aid. It's more so of an exposure.
Okay.
So the last serious relationship I was in, head over heels for the girl, I was practically Joe minus the killing.
Sorry.
So like when like the one time we had broken up, yes, I said the one time, it's been more than once. The one time we had broken up, I guess it really hit me hard, and this was, I guess this was around a time where, you know, the aging thing really kind of kicked in, and you know, the maturity started to kick in, and you know, the settling started to kick in too. You know what I'm saying? I was, you know, growing more settling with her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at the same time battling toxic ways too.
Right.
So one time, I don't know what it was in the air, but like I was skeptical as shit. I really felt like she was possibly involved with somebody else. So,
Okay.
you know, I took a little ride, you know what I'm saying? And I drove past her apartment complex, and you know, it was kind of a sightseeing to where you can kind of see, in a sense, what's going on, and you know what I'm saying, like whether you know the living room light was on or was it pitch dark. And you know, I was starting to compare shit like that. It's like, okay, when it's fully dark in there, me and her usually fucking. So is she fucking? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I start comparing little shit like that, and it's crazy because like we will sit up there and we would drive ourselves fucking crazy based off assumptions, bro. And that's what I was doing in that particular moment. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, just being driven off assumptions and, you know, just not, you know, considering the fact that, well, maybe she ain't home, but because her car was out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nigga, it's 7:30, nigga. You ain't never usually this, you know, sleep this early. Shit, you ain't even got work tomorrow. I know your work schedule, bitch. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and it's so crazy, you know, because you know, like I said, we'll drive ourselves, you know, with the assumptions. But yeah, but like the whole social media thing, I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll stalk the motherfucker while I'm with him. You know what I'm saying? I hate to
Oh,
admit
Jesus.
that, but you know what I'm saying? I guess it's, I don't know if it's really like stalking, more so like of admiration, if I said that shit right. But you know what I'm saying? I'm always curious as to, you know, what you're doing, or you know what I'm saying, what you like today, or you know what I'm saying, like what you happen to say today, how your day going and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Because in most cases, you don't necessarily really, you know, talk to a person on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? Because let's be honest, everybody is more committed to their social media than they is with anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like you
Right.
can catch a motherfucker posting like every 5 minutes or so. You know what I'm saying? So
It's yeah.
that's where kind of like the host is, you know, of knowing about a person is through the social media. You know what I'm saying? So the first step of, you know, a stalker is to fucking check the social media. Every last one of them motherfuckers, all four of them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely I don't necessarily consider my stalking as extreme as Joe's, because like I wasn't within like 6 feet of this motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? And she not know I was there. But the funny thing
Right.
about Joe was like when he would go do his stalking and shit, like he always, I don't know if you ever noticed, but he always put on his little invisible cap. I call it an invisible cap
Gotcha.
because like this motherfucker could be like legit like 10 to 6 feet away and like don't be noticed at all. He ain't detected for shit. Like this motherfucker invisible as hell. Like he don't nobody be knowing who the fuck this creepy ass motherfucker is. He just able to just, you know, just stalk away.
Right.
But yeah, let's travel into the season two portion. So, what was your take on Candace returning to season two?
I just want to say the look on his face when he seen her. That will always be fucking funny, dog. I swear. And that's how I know that me, you, Queen K, like all of us, Ace. I know that's why we meant to be friends, because we all laughed at that same fucking part. Because it's like, dog, everything that I tried to bury is coming the fuck back. But I was also kind of like disappointed in Candace, because it's like, I get where you were coming from. You get what I'm saying? Like, I get that you were trying to, like, you know, make him pay for what he did to you, but look at how triggering it was. You know what I'm saying? All them times that she would think back to how he buried her alive. It's like trying to get revenge. Man, we said this on one of the first episodes of our podcast. Getting revenge will only hurt you, and you're losing yourself more and more in the process, because she ended up getting killed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Trying to come back to a situation. Like, I was disappointed, because I'm like, come on now. You know what I'm saying? You better than that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just go on living your life. You know what I'm saying? But at people who have been abused or, you know what I'm saying, disrespected in a certain type of way, we want to take our power back. And that's what she came to do.
Yeah. I have to piggyback off that facial expression, dog, because I swear to God. I had to rewind that shit like at least three times, because Joe looked like he legit shit his pants. But I was kind of hyped for it, because, like, you know, like, once she kind of stepped into the season, like, mm-hmm. everything was up in the air at that point, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, where it would go. You know what I'm saying? Will she just straight try to just, you know, get to the point with it? But I agree with you on her coming back and trying to make him suffer for everything, because, honestly, it was pretty ballsy. You know what I'm saying? Because, like you said, like, you know, having to remember the fact that this motherfucker buried you alive, and yet you still chasing this motherfucker. You're the one with the toxic issues. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. But trying to be vengeful of situations like that, like, that's pretty risky to do. You know what I'm saying? Especially when it was a near-death experience. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For you to, shit, she was really on some stalking shit. Like, you pretty much, like, relocated and, like, searched for this motherfucker just to pop up and be like, hey, I'm still alive. You didn't do your job. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Nonetheless, yeah, Candace was back, motherfuckers. But, yeah, she's gone. Because, like you said, you know, chasing at the vengeful moment, you can lose yourself, literally. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy part about it was, it wasn't even by the hands of this motherfucker. it was by lovely love. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say this, love. Whether it's the character or the real person that that plays the character, shit, I actually got a crush on that girl, and it's crazy because I didn't have this found crush on her off of you know, the actual person. I can't remember her name right now, forgive me, shorty, but I built it based off of her character. Honestly, you know what, mm-hmm. I lied. I based it off of the one sex scene that they had, and she basically threw this nigga on the bed, threw a sock in his mouth, rolled him, and, like, the way this nigga was just like, I ain't got no control. She done took the soul out of my life. I was like, I love her. I love her. Like, she's a chick.
Oh, gosh.
She's awesome. But yeah, to briefly bring in the character Love, this is basically the chick that met Joe's match, dog. Like, it was crazy how the twist came into play, because the way they portrayed that whole thing, like, you never would have expected Love to be as crazy as this motherfucker was, as Joe was. But that ties into my next question, though. Do you think two broken people can truly love each other through their toxic ways?
Okay. So looking at this question, I'm going to look at this from two different point of views, okay? So when he was with Beck and then he broke up with her and started dating the African-American chick, I forgot her name. I need to rewatch it. But Beck, you know what I'm saying, coming back around, wanting to, you know what I'm saying, be with him and everything like that, and then causing him to cheat and everything, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like he couldn't say no. It's like Beck was finally giving in to what he wanted, but it's like you see that I got somebody else. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like he distracted her. She distracted him from, like, being with somebody that was really there for him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, like,
right.
after I left you because you cheated with, like, you know what I'm saying, with the fucking therapist, stuff like that, like, and now you want to come back, like, I'm so fucking confused. But from him in love standpoint, love was giving him everything that he wanted back to give him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And it's crazy because it's like he met his match, but for some reason we are wired to only go after the person that doesn't want us. We give the person that is willing to give us everything a hard time, and we go after that person because we want that challenge. We feel like a person that's reciprocating our needs is too boring. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to find, like, problems to make this relationship work because I'm used to chaos. The fact that love killed Candace, was willing to, you know what I'm saying, wipe everything clean, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I can make this all go away. It's like he finally got to see how he was being. And it's like it turned him off. And it was just like, okay, yes, she shouldn't have killed Candace. But it's like, nigga, you gonna really look at her different after she was the one that you, like she gave you everything that you always fucking wanted. Like, it, I don't know,
right.
That part just irritated me. And it just shows, like, I don't think that two broken people can, like, truly love each other through their toxic ways because it's, like, it's always going to be, like, one-sided. One person's always going to be doing more of the pull than the other person because it's, like, we're so fucked up. Like, I said it before. You got one person that's just here for a benefit, and you got the other person that's here because it's like, I just want to prove and give you everything, but it's like the other person's taking advantage of the situation. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And you got to think about it, too. The one time and the only time was when he killed his dad for, you know, for hurting his mom. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that engraved in his brain that, you know what I'm saying, like, any wrongdoings results into death, so to speak. Because if you think about it, he was about to kill love. You know what I'm saying? For possibly killing Candace. But she uttered the words, I'm pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Which stopped him from doing so. You know what I'm saying? So if she never got the chance to say those words, she probably could have been dead too. You know what I'm saying? And,
you know, like in that flashback where, you know, because that they showed that flashback during a therapy session that Joe had. And I actually got to try that shit because I seen some people in the comments that on the video that I was watching of that video clip, and they said that they had tried and they immediately started crying just off of the thoughts that they had. And it was crazy as hell. Like, I'm really considering doing that therapy. I can't remember the name exactly, but I think they stick like a needle or something inside your earlobe or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it pretty much taps into your memory bank. And it makes you think about all these fucked up situations that may have happened and everything like that. And it's crazy because, like, the therapist referenced the self-love and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was saying, like, self-love is all you need type of thing. But
oh, you talking about Love's brother that did that? Yeah, you with Love's brother. Yep.
No. That was Forty didn't do it. It was this random ass character. He was Joe's therapist or whatever at some point.
Okay.
He was doing therapy on him. Yeah, and that's when the scene of him killing his dad came into play, because his dad wasn't shit. He was abusing his mom. The mom wasn't no damn better, because she pretty much neglected Joe when he was a kid. Because I remember the one scene where this businessman was trying to hook up with her at the store, and she told Joe to stay there while she go handle her business and shit. So you left your child in a store just to go, mm-hmm. do you. And, she was giving him, she was making all these promises to Joe when he was young, saying that, we're going to leave your dad and, everything's going to get better. It's just going to be me and you type of thing, where mm-hmm. I think that's where that kind of crossed into like his way of, loving somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to be with me and you, so we can be complete together. Like, I know mm-hmm. how to love, So once I love on you, it should be just me and you, So like when Beck's friends, started to see Joe as like this crazy ass individual, And once he detected that, that was he calculated that as, you're trying to take me away from Beck, And I won't mm-hmm. allow that,
Yeah.
And, to piggyback off of what you said, it having two broken people try to love each other, that's just deemed to crash. Like it might still linger here and there, but it's always gonna end up crashing to the point where, it could get violent, or, it just simply would just end. Somebody will come to their senses and be like, I deserve better. Like, I've adapted to self-love, and right now that's not feeding into my self-love.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so last question. Do you think people are really capable of doing the wrong things out of love?
I think people, if they don't realize that their toxic ways is toxic, yes, you can absolutely do wrong things out of love and think that it's okay. For example, me. I was the type of person in relationships, I could be very snappy, I could be very bitchy. Like, if I was in the mood for sex and my partner wasn't ready to, like they weren't in the mood, I would instantly have an attitude, like, how dare you, oh, you don't desire me. Like, I would instantly start arguing with them. You get what I'm saying? And then it's like, when they would give me the silent treatment, I would force them to talk to me, because it's like, why are you hurting me? Oblivious to what the fuck that I was just doing. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And that's when, like, I would really try to, like, point out, like, okay, but I did this. Like, when they would say, like, yo, I don't like the fact that you do this, I would gaslight and say, no, but I did this for you, and that shit overpowered. I'm not perfect. It's like, it's not cool to force someone to be okay with your toxic ways. If you really care about somebody and they're telling you that they need to set a boundary, if that's something that they're not cool with, if you care about them, you're going to change it. If you stuck in your ways, you have to leave that person the fuck alone. Don't fuck them up, because your love language is not speaking their love language. You get what I'm saying? So, yes, I think that people are, they're really capable of doing the wrong things. Like, honestly, like, a lot of the exes that have passed on and reached back out to get that closure or to tell me that I was the best thing ever, they would say, like, I know I wasn't the best, but that was the best that I could give. That's the honest to God truth. They really fucking mean that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, should I agree with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, now see, even when I thought of this question, it was very thoughtful. Because I don't know. I guess in a sense, like you can do wrong things out of love, but do you necessarily know it's the wrong things? You know what I'm saying? Like you can be doing shit out of desperation and not notice how fucked up it is. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like when you're at that point, you know, it's just out of desperation of trying to keep that person. Cause that's just like with Joe, you know what I'm saying? With Beck, you know what I'm saying? Actually, you know, I'll take it further back. Cause Joe's stepfather, I think his name was Mooney. Yeah. Mr. Mooney.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cause back then, cause the reason of the whole cage thing was, you know, like you guys said earlier, you know what I'm saying? His stepfather would lock him in there. You know what I'm saying? Every time he did something wrong, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that was Joe's reasonings of, you know, doing such, but you know, with Joe's character, with all of the things that he basically, you know, consumed as a child, you know what I'm saying? He deemed it to be the right thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing that it was very toxic. You know what I'm saying? And like when it came to Beck, and honestly, I feel like, cause I think you had said something not too long ago. I think you said chasing after, damn, what did you say? I can't remember exactly, but no. I think when it came to Beck, you know, particularly, I feel like Beck was like really a resemblance of his mom. And I feel like he was trying to the wrongs between him and his mom relationship through Beck. You know what I'm saying? Because if you notice, Joe was very controlling. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to, he intended to bring the best out of Beck. You know what I'm saying? Even when it wasn't asked for him to do so. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, saying that, you know, her friends wasn't shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to come between us and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? He had a really strong controlling way of showing his love. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that, you know what I'm saying, like, Beck's friends is dead. Hell, Beck is dead,
exactly.
Allegedly. You know what I'm saying? Like, therapist locked up and every damn thing like that. And you can tell that it's a character defect in Joe, because rolling into season two, the same shit is happening. You know what I'm saying? It's a pattern there. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, people are capable of doing wrong things out of love, but you know what I'm saying? You got to watch out for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when it's taught and learned behavior, you know what I'm saying? That shit can become a pattern. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just like with the ending of season two. You know, he started, you know, eye gazing the next door neighbor, which is going to be pretty interesting. Is going to be pretty fucking interesting, because you got a crazy ass pregnant chick who is a female version of you. And if she find out that you is fucking with the next door neighbor, she going to kill your ass.
But, I wanted to piggyback real quick before we segue.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely understand what you mean. Like, you know, because of what he was taught, it did blur a lot of the lines for him. And that's what I was saying. Like, people can be oblivious to it. Like, they really feel like this is the best that, you know what I'm saying, I gave and everything like that. But I just feel like you have some people out here, don't get me wrong, you do have some people out here who knows, they know what they're doing. They know that they can string you along in relationships. You have, you know what I'm saying, some parents who know that they took it too far with their kids. They know that they took their frustration out on them when they, you know, beat them. They know they said some fucked up things. But it's like, you try to, how can I put it? I feel like people can be very oblivious to what they're doing because realizing what you're doing makes you feel like you're a fucked up person. And none of us want to seem like we're a fucked up person. We all rather play the victim than play the person that's deceiving. You get what I'm saying? Like, look at narcissistics. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have two different masks on. They're showing their victim one side and they're showing the people on the outside another, because it's like, I don't want to realize that I'm real fucked up. Like, I remember I used to facilitate men that said they used to go home and they would turn up the TV or turn up the stereo. They would beat their wives. They made sure not to beat them in their face. They would punch them where they couldn't find bruises. So you do have people out here who know what they're doing, but you also have people who are oblivious. But I feel like if it's a learned behavior and everything like that, and the person is saying, no, this is not healthy for me, it's like you said, which your first dynamic culture quote, when you was like, toxic is when you love them but you can't let them go. You have to let that person go. And that I'm really starting to understand Nipsey Hussle's quote. We don't possess people, we experience them. It's not up to us to, you know what I'm saying, make this person just be for me. You only call me. I need to hear from you all day, every day. That's smothering. You get what I'm saying? But this is what we were taught. And this is something that we feel like we need, because we need to feel value. Joe wanted to feel value. Like you said, he came second to his mom and everything like that because she was getting abused. So it's like he always felt like he had to be that protector, you know, even for the little neighbors. So I definitely want to piggyback. You're right. There's some people out there who knows, and there's some people who's oblivious.
Yeah, and I mean, and to add a little bit more to that, that's where the matchmaking with him and Love came into play, because to give a little background story about, you know, Love's whole situation, and that was kind of, they kind of pretty much explained that towards the end of the last episode of season two, and which is crazy because they never really necessarily explained her ex-husband's death. You know what I'm saying? That's still up in the air, because if you remember, Love wanted a child with her ex-husband, but he didn't want children. You know what I'm saying? And I think he had some sort of like illness or something like that, because he was deaf too. And at this point now, considering who Love is at this point, I 100% believe that she possibly killed this man. You know what I'm saying?
We might find out in season three, because I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, because like her whole defect was, her parents were fucked up too. I think her parents were just, I wouldn't say just as bad as Joe's parents, but you know what I'm saying, they had their toxic ways as well, to where, like, you know what I'm saying, they wasn't really 100% there for their children. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Love was basically wrapped up in a fantasy of having a perfect life. With that, you know what I'm saying? Which, same thing with Joe, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a scene where Love and her brother 40, they were being watched by, I guess, like a sitter or something like that. Or it may have been 40's alleged girlfriend or something like that. Either way, she was way too old for 40 at the time. And She had explained that, you know, she was a bad influence on 40, you know what I'm saying? And she basically killed the girl or whatever. And the parents covered it up, because she explained to them that, you know what I'm saying, it was 40 that did it. Because I think she had gave 40 like some coke or some shit like that, and it knocked him out. He had passed out and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So while that had happened, you know what I'm saying, she committed that crime, and once he kind of came to, I think she pretty much convinced him that he had did it, and he confessed to the parents, and the parents covered it up, type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So she's this kind of pursue as well, but in the most violent way, you know, so to speak. And now that she has this, this fantasy family that she's always wanted, it finally came true with Joe. And, you know, plus being obsessed with Joe and actually loving Joe, you know what I'm saying? That's her perfect little world. Her world is complete. You know what I'm saying? So, season three about to be the shit, man. I can't wait.
Right, we did it with that part.
So we'll be at the motherfucking front door.
You got any shout outs or appreciation?
For sure. We always got shout outs and appreciations, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Self Love is My Rehab, you know what I'm saying? Per usual, you know what I'm saying? We drop gems and, you know, kick the shits every Sunday, you know what I'm saying? It ain't never nothing too heavy, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's something to, you know, spread the word that, you know, hey, you're not alone, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's okay to just laugh at, you know, tragic, toxic situations, you know what I'm saying? That's part of self-love, being able to laugh, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the more healthier things to do, you know what I'm saying, when you're stressed out or depressed, you know what I'm saying? Just laugh a little bit. Shout out to God, because without him, there would be no DC, there would be no Complex Angel, there would be no Self-Love is My Rehab. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel, that's my baby, don't play with it. It's a new year, 2021, it's the new 2020 vision, you hear me? It's some shit dropping this year. I'm going to be working hard for y'all, for real, man. So be in tune with that. You can follow up with the updates on Instagram at dynamic_culture_apparel. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Dynamic Culture Apparel as well. I've been noticing that y'all been, whoever's listening, I've been getting likes every time I shout it out. So I appreciate y'all for, if y'all listening to the show and, you know what I'm saying, y'all take the time out to go follow the pages. You know, I appreciate that 100%. Shout out to all my people with positive vibes and positive energy. And shout out to my homies with negative vibes and negative energy. We still love you. At the end of the day, we just waiting for you to catch up. Listen, it's 2021, bitch.
So I want to give a shout out to God for, you know, just having a close relationship with him. It's helped me to have a close relationship with myself. He has been there for me through some hard times, and it's helping me to restore my peace of mind. I want to shout out Davida and Danita. They were on our first, they were like a guest on our first season. I want to shout them out for inviting me out to Virginia to bring in the new year with them and their family. They rented an Airbnb. It was like a real, like, you know, like not a lot of people. They had like 11 bedrooms, so like it could be a big house so we could social distance. But it was just really nice to be around people. Like, you know, I'm a person that I'm very like guarded, and I don't go around people. I get in my head and feel like I'm gonna stand out, or I'm gonna be socially awkward, I'm gonna be that quiet person. I really enjoyed myself. I got to meet some amazing people. I got to create some new memories and everything. And I just want to tell people out there, like, be open to meeting new people. You just never know what opportunities will come your way, what memories you'll create, and, like, you know what I'm saying, what's, like, things that you'll realize about yourself. Like, we have to stop saying no new friends, you know what I'm saying, because some of your friends that you grew up with is closed-minded and can't get you to the next level in your life. But shout out to you, DC, for, you know, just being ready to rock every Sunday. We are slowly about to, we're almost done with season four. You know, we got, like, I want to say, like, probably like 5 or 6 more episodes before we go into season 5. It's going to be some changes coming, like I said. Dropping the recap was one of them. Just saying, you know. But yeah, we got some new segments coming. I think you guys will like it. Shout out to Queen K with Queens from Queens with Vibes and Visions. I love that podcast. Like, that podcast is really helping me to realize, you know what I'm saying, who I am as a woman. Self-Love is My Rehab helps me to level up every day. I realize something about myself every week. Like you said, we drop heavy gems. Shout out to No Apologies. That book is what set the pavement for both these podcasts. And Out of Darkness is coming. I've been writing every day. I had to realize I need to stop procrastinating and I need to stop acting. I'm realizing procrastination is an arrogant way of saying I got a lot of time on my side when I really fucking don't. So I got, you know, I'm getting back to it. It will be coming out, and that will be the end of No Apology series. Then we're going to go on to Bittersweet Reflection series. That one's going to punch y'all in the throat. Just saying.
Yes, sir.
Well, with that being said, DC, you ready to get your mind stimulated?
Oh, yeah. Give me the green light.
Drop it.
Let's stimulate that mind. Call.
red. Let's see. I think I'm about to start switching it up. Instead of going in order, I'm about to just like do like hot potato one. It's like nah. My stimulation mind question this week is do you use your social media for venting or change? And how do you feel society perceives your social media pages?
God damn you. So I would say way back when, my shit was definitely for venting.
Okay.
Because you know how with Facebook, they bring up your memories and shit. And I seen some stats back in 2009, 2010, and 11. Complex. It wasn't looking too good. It wasn't looking too good, man. And it's crazy because, like, I don't know if that's a healthy way to reflect on how much you've grown. Actually, yeah. I would look at it that way. I kind of like how they do the memory thing. You know what I'm saying? Because for people who are developing and maturing as a person, you know what I'm saying, who revolve their lives in a sense around their social media, would kind of need to see the toxic shit that they used to post on social media. Because that's exactly how I took it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I said, like I would get those notifications like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a post that you posted back in 2009 or something like that. And I was saying some retarded shit. You know what I'm saying?
Gosh.
And I'm going to be an adult and say it. I was saying some dumb ass shit to the point where I was deleting shit. I was like, you know what? That ain't me no more. I don't need to know it. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with it. You know what I'm saying? Putting relationships out there in the air, you know what I'm saying? Talking bad about, you know, people I was dating previously around that time and drunken moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that, like, I wasn't prepared to see. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, you know, looking back on it, it was just like, ew. Like, the fuck? That was me back then? Like, damn, it's crazy. But yeah, I would definitely say back then it was for venting. Right now, definitely for change. With a little bit of venting, I would say healthy venting. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just to kind of get laughs out here and there, or, you know what I'm saying, just to get somebody to comment, or, you know, certain shit like that, you know what I'm saying, like, stuff like that. But when it comes to the changing aspect of it, I'm definitely doing, like, a lot of quotes and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, motivation quotes, spiritual quotes and stuff like that, or, you know what I'm saying, just dropping funny shit, you know what I'm saying, just in case somebody need a laugh or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Just be able to change their day around, you know what I'm saying? If they may be depressed or something like that, drop a funny-ass little meme or something like that everybody might just be, you know, stealing somebody's post, because everybody steal everybody's posts and shit, you know what I'm saying? That ain't nothing new. But, just being more uplifting nowadays, you know what I'm saying? That's my thing. You know what I'm saying? I kind of cry wolf sometimes about myself being single, so I'll drop some single memes out there and shit, or, you know, couple shit, you know, things like that for the most part. But, you know, trying to reel somebody in and be like, huh, I'm thinking the same thing. You know, we might be able to work something out, you know. But yeah, that's my take on the first question. What was the second question?
How do you think society views your, like, how do you think people who follow you view your page?
I don't know 100%. I would just assume that, you know, like I said, that, you know, they view it as, you know, an individual who's, you know, low key. In the process of changing, you know what I'm saying? A businessman, you know, everything of that nature. I would prefer them to know me as that now versus back then. You know what I'm saying? Because And I see it sometimes too on social media nowadays where, you know, like there'll be like clickbait, like, you know, statuses and shit like that where people, you know, they want to somewhat kind of like explain their problems and everything like that. And back then, I felt like that was the right thing to do. But nowadays, it's just like, you know, you're publicly humiliating yourself in a sense. You know what I'm saying? When you can just go to your support group, if you do have one, you know what I'm saying? Not everybody has like a trustworthy support group. You know what I'm saying? Somebody to go and really vent to and talk to. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that is the key to why people probably do put their business out there in social media like that. You know what I'm saying? To people who they don't even fucking know like that in real life. You know what I'm saying? You just friends with them on social media and y'all just like each other's shit. You know what I'm saying? For you to put your shit out there, you know, amongst strangers, you know what I'm saying? That's a cry for help. But in result to that, I would definitely say, you know, honestly, just, you know, get a support group. You know what I'm saying? And even then, you know what I'm saying? Like if a person's real genuine and really wanna like, you know, reach out and, you know, say like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I don't know you like that. I seen the post though. Like, you good? Like, straight? Like, you need somebody to talk to? But unfortunately, nowadays people ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? They'll take what you say and, you know, make you famous on Facebook by humiliating you. You know what I'm saying? So I highly recommend don't put your shit out there like that, especially if you're going through something. Don't put it on social media.
Okay, thank you for answering. Back then, like you, I did use my social media for venting. I did post Bible quotes and everything, like I would do verse of the day, but I did a lot of venting. I also was very open book about my relationship, always making these lovey-dovey statuses, and then when we would break up, I would do those heartbreaking statuses. Now I just use my social media for like sense of humor to promote both podcasts, to promote my book. I'll put up, you know, positive quotes and everything. I really don't like to display my relationship. Like I'll put pictures, but I'm not about to put everything that's going on up there. You know what I'm saying? Like I'll probably put like emojis now. If there's shit going on, I'm not running to social media with it. You gonna think that, you know, Complex is still just being her. How I think society perceives my social media pages. I feel like back then they probably looked like, oh, she's probably all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Like she, you know, her statuses, her moods change a lot. It makes my mood changes. Probably now, like, oh, she's so positive. You know, but I think that they see a lot of growth. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm doing different stuff and I'm just like focused on me and everything like that. I feel like some of my positivity probably irritates people because I notice that the more positive stuff I post, I notice that the numbers go up and down on my Instagram. Like, you know, sometimes I'll have like 800 something, but then I'll notice that probably two people stop following me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I just be like, hey, if you unfollow me because of that, I'm gonna just continue. You know what I'm saying? To keep being me because this is like I'm posting like shit that I've been through, shit that I can relate to, shit that people may need to know. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I am far from fucking perfect. But some people, they just want to see the Instagrams that got all the drama. So, you know, they probably don't want to, you know, hear that and everything like that. But hey, so, you know, I think I see a lot of growth, and I just want to be perceived as someone who is like just out here trying to get people to live in their truth. You know what I'm saying? Like really be okay with everything that happened to you. You know what I'm saying? Like I said before, like that trip I went on, you know, like I stepped out of my comfort zone a lot. Like I was being goofy. We played Truth or Dare. There's a video of me doing the Harlem Shake. Like it was just so fun. And like just looking back at the Just looking back at the video, you know, the old me would have just cringed, like, oh, my God, look at how big I am. I was like, yes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so proud of you, you know? Like, I was happy. Like, I was able to laugh at myself. That's what self-love is, like, being comfortable with who you are, not giving a fuck about anybody else. Don't, like, not giving a fuck about what others think of you. Don't change yourself for anybody unless you feel like you need to change. You get what I'm saying? So, yep.
Right.
But... Yeah. That being said, DC, I'm sorry, you about to say something else?
Oh no, yeah, you good. I was gonna say, I that definitely hit close to home with that last little bit that you said, because excuse me, I think that's the major hump that I'm struggling with my self love, is just, you know what I'm saying, accepting my image, you know what I'm saying, because I feel like I'm still personally wrapped up in, you know what I'm saying, the tragic situations that I was going through, you know what I'm saying, growing up, and, you know, people talking about me to where, like, I really just dislike my image. But I told myself this year I'm going to start dedicating pretty much every day to myself by, you know, taking more pictures, you know what I'm saying, smiling more on social media, you know what I'm saying, really, really giving myself a face in this world, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, like I said,
yeah,
with, you know, with the, you know, with the negative, you know, feedback of, you know, people talking about me and everything like that, you know, made me really feel like an ugly person, you know what I'm saying, so I have to get over that and realize that, hey, you're 31, you know what I'm saying, most of those people that talked about you probably ugly as shit or probably matured, you know what I'm saying, to the point where, you know, you can kind of accept it and have some closure and, you know, start, you know, living life and loving you and who you are as a person and love your image. So everybody expect to see like a shit ton of photos of me. I'm going to start photobombing social media and everything. And that's not for y'all. That's for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a challenge for me because, like, I've never been a photogenic person. So when that does happen, this for me, it's definitely not for y'all. But
yeah. Okay. Well, with that, then close this out with a dynamic quote.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of the night. Hopefully y'all enjoyed this podcast episode, you know what I'm saying? If y'all seen you, hopefully y'all definitely enjoyed the discussion that we had. If y'all still happen to listen in and didn't watch the shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a for real good show. It's a for real good show, you know what I'm saying? Everybody had their perspectives on, you know, everything, you know, so y'all might have a different perspective, you know, from what we may have discussed, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you is definitely an interesting show. If y'all are This Is Us lovers, hey, new episode Tuesday. Be on the lookout for that. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I'm going to be chimed in. I'm sure Complex and, you know, Ace the Face and Queen K. Queen K, I'm sure she's going to be chiming in too. You know what I'm saying? That's another heavy hitter right there. So make sure y'all tune in for that and, you know, stay updated for you, because season 3 is in the works. We just waiting on it to drop. But with that being said, we're gonna close the show out with the dynamic quote, and it is coming from our infamous king, Denzel Washington, my nigga. And the quote is, "It's easy to spot a red car when you're always thinking of a red car. It's easy to spot opportunity when you're always thinking of opportunity. It's easy to spot reasons to be mad when you're always thinking of being mad. You become what you constantly think about. Watch yourself."
Uh-huh.
And when I read this quote, it hit home like every quote always does, you know what I'm saying? Because we do always, you know, think what we think, we always end up becoming, you know what I'm saying? So take that, you know, literally. And start manifesting some positivity in your life. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like you have a chance to win $1 million, think about that shit. If you have thoughts about getting a new house, continue to think about that new house. You know what I'm saying? If you have thoughts about thinking about that new car, keep thinking about that new car.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Start manifesting a lot of positivity in your life. You know what I'm saying? This is a new year. This is a fresh start. You know what I'm saying? I know it sounds really cliche, you know what I'm saying, with the whole terminology of new year, new me type of thing. But fuck all that. Continue to be you, just you. You know what I'm saying? Continue to work on you. You know what I'm saying? Spread that positivity, spread that love, you know what I'm saying, within yourself and with all your loved ones around you. You know what I'm saying? Because the more positivity from others, the better. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So with that being said, that's the end of the show. Peace and love, and we are out.
Peace and love. Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year.